should be running the testing on your application project. So testing is something that everybody sort of did by themselves, but it's also a huge, huge opportunity to drive up software quality. The only way to figure out and to make sure that you're producing high quality software is by testing. So the last session today, I want to give you a quick overview. It's just an overview session. We will not go very deep into the manual automatic functionalities for testing, not just SharePoint applications, but of course also SharePoint applications. Now we're going to show you one product from Microsoft, which is relatively new, which is called the Microsoft Test Manager. Has anyone used the Test Manager? Okay. Anyone? Few people? Not very many people. So maybe the reason for that is that the Test Manager will only work if you also have a Team Foundation server in the backend. Test Manager without TFS doesn't work because the tests are work items, just like bugs, issues, anything you put in, any information you create in your project. And tests are stored alongside the code and all the other work items in the TFS repository. So the Test Manager, while it's a very interesting product, it fits into the bigger picture of application lifecycle management. And of course, it needs the appropriate backend for that. So in this last session, we have two topics. Quickly, an overview of the testing tools in Visual Studio 2010. And then we'll talk a little bit about the issues when it comes to testing SharePoint applications, SharePoint projects. We have heard in almost every session that SharePoint projects are a little bit different from normal software development projects in various ways, and the same applies to testing. So those generic testing mechanisms, unit testing, for example, have some challenges when it comes to testing SharePoint specifically. We already heard it in the session just now, code quality, things like code metrics, calculations, they don't work out of the box with SharePoint, since SharePoint has its own idiosyncrasies, has its own sort of like strange twisted ways of doing things. So we'll have an overview, a general overview of the testing tools that applies to any project, and then we'll go a little bit deeper into the SharePoint testing sort of lifecycle workflow. So usually a typical test cycle looks like that. So you have a new build. We've seen the build function, the team build function that creates new builds of your application. When you have that new build, somebody sits down, writes test cases. Now, it might be a developer who's doing that. It might be a test manager. It might be a business analyst. Again, there is no hard and fast rule how this should be structured. I have actually seen not many teams who really have the dedicated tester role. In your teams, do you have a dedicated tester who does nothing else but testing? Who has? One, two, three, two and a half, maybe? So not so much. In larger software projects, yes, you have that. I can tell you that all software projects inside of Microsoft have a dedicated tester role. It's an integral part of the development team. Normally, it's sort of a shared role. Somebody, a developer, especially in a SharePoint context, developers usually are everything, right? They're administrators, they're testers, they're business users, they're customers. Everything is done by one person. So a dedicated tester role might not be there, but somebody has to think about ways of testing this application, writing test cases. Also, writing test cases can happen in many different ways. Sometimes it's a Word document. Sometimes it's an Excel sheet. There's no dedicated, specialized way of storing test cases. Everybody's doing it a little bit differently. Then it's time to run those tests. And there's this thing about what I call more technical testing and more generalist testing. More technical testing is what you do in Visual Studio. Things like unit tests, things like web performance tests, things like coded UI tests maybe. Those are all tests that somebody creates who has a development background. And then there's the other type of test, the manual testing. Manual testing means somebody is sitting down, using the application, eyeballing the application, and seeing if it works as expected. Now, interesting trivia fact, again, is that 75% of all testing nowadays is manual. Right? So manual testing is still the best way to get higher code coverage. Of course, you still do unit testing. Of course, you still do the more technical pieces of testing. But manual testing is arguably the most powerful way to flush out bugs and strengthen the quality of your software. So manual testing and more technical testing, this happens here. If any bugs are discovered, they're filed, they're played back to the development team. And then we have another problem. If a tester finds a bug and tells you as a developer, hey, it's not working, something's wrong here. Usually what happens is that you don't have information you need. Right? What did he do? What activities did the tester perform when they encountered the bug? What kind of an operating system do they have installed? Do they have service packs? Do they have the latest and greatest on their machine? A developer usually has a completely different setup from a tester, from a normal person, if you put it in parentheses. We already heard it, it's a problem with building, but it's also a problem with testing. And I've had so many cases where testers and developers were actually screaming at each other because they were playing bug ping pong. Right? The developer says, I cannot reproduce your bug, so it's not the bug. Right, and then the whole cycle starts over and over again. It might be an excuse from the developer, but I don't believe that. It's the problem that when you file a bug, there's a lot of additional information required that a normal tester person simply cannot produce. Right, so that's a big issue. You can file bugs, but they need to be meaningful. The developer needs rich, actionable bugs to be able to actually fix those errors. Once these errors are fixed, somebody else has go in and verify that that the bug has been resolved. And then, of course, you don't want these bugs to appear again, so you build or do regression testing to make sure that in a subsequent build, the bug will not reappear. So that's a typical test cycle, and there's actually a lot of work involved in running through all of that cycle. So if we look at this cycle, try to automate it, try to make it easier, try to streamline it, we can save a lot of money. And the more you test, the higher quality software will be the end output, because ultimately, high-quality software means building everything that is formulated in the requirements and building it in a way that it always works. That's sort of a definition of high-quality software. So fixing bugs is difficult for the developer because, I already said it just now, they don't have enough information they need to fix that bug. There's so much information required to be able to dig down into a complicated application, and the tester cannot produce that, otherwise they would be writing a lot of documentation. Nobody wants to do that. Also, the problem I just mentioned with different service packs, operating systems, maybe some software that they installed locally is interfering with your application. Lots and lots of problems how to file really meaningful bugs. So the other thing that we figured out is that testers are usually not necessarily developers. So forcing a tester to use Visual Studio to file bugs or to plan their test plans is not a very good thing. And that's why we created this Microsoft Test Manager product. Test Manager is not Visual Studio. It's very, very important. Test Manager is a different front end, an attractive, easy to use front end for normal people to actually create test plans, test cases, and file bugs. So it could actually be used by your end users. I actually have some examples where end users and customers are filling the tester role, and they're using the test manager to do the acceptance testing on an application. And if they encounter a problem, they file a bug, and the bug directly ends up in TFS and can be actioned. That's a very, very nice way of working, and the test manager is so easy to use that almost everyone can understand it and use it quite quickly, not just a dedicated tester. So the test manager, it's also very important. Test manager doesn't do all the testing that you can do in Visual Studio. It's just for manual tests. It's not for web performance tests. It's not for unit tests. It's just for manual tests where somebody actually sits down and uses this application. So you can create test cases in it. You can create test plans, test suite. You can organize your test plan any way you want. You can run those tests, and as you run those tests, the test manager will collect information from your system and attach that to the test run. So for example, easy information like what operating system, what service pack, what kind of DLLs are running on the system that my application is running on, all of that is collected automatically in the background, and it is attached to the test run. So a developer later on, when he needs to fix a bug, has all the information they need to be able to investigate. Also, you're getting a video recording of each and every action the user is doing when running this test. So you see see where that did this person click, what did they do on the screen, and that makes it easier to follow the actions of the user until they hit that bug. There's more you can do, and we'll show you some examples of that, because there is a functionality. When you record a manual test run with the test manager, you can turn that into a, what's called a coded UI test. Now, a coded UI test is simply the recording of the actions on the screen expressed in code. So you can do that as a developer for regression, bug regression testing, for example. If you know the user does some actions and it triggered a bug, you can then automate that. You don't need the tester to rerun that test. You simply run the automated coded UI test, maybe as part of your check-in, and then you can be sure that when this test passes, the bug has not regressed, the bug hasn't come back. So there's many, many ways how the test manager and the functionalities in the test manager can help make manual testing easier, quicker, and also more streamlined. And as I said before, it's all connected to TFS. So just like with any other action in the development project, all these actions get stored, get updated in TFS, which allows us to build really, really sophisticated reports about software quality. Three data points which you have in TFS, for example, user stories, requirements, tasks, and test outcomes. If you put these three numbers together, you have a pretty good insight into the quality of your end product. You can say, my user story has been built 75%, and the test runs have been 100% successful, and that allows you as a project manager maybe to say, hey, the quality of our software, product is such and such. And that's one of the big benefits of having this centralized TFS data store, because you can at any point in time pull these automated reports, not just for testing, but for anything. So this magic, if you will, very poetic word, but the data collection on your system is done through what we call diagnostic data adapters. I'm going to show you what they collect a little bit later when I show you the test manager in a little bit more detail. Basically, these things hook into the host system for your application, and these things, they collect all the information that is available at runtime from your application. So you can install them on, they are per default installed when you install the test manager on a local system, but you can also install the data adapters on separate machines so that they can, for example, collect data from a web server when you're testing a web application. They can also collect data from a database server that you're accessing when you're running a multi-tier application. So these agents communicate with the test manager, they pull all the information, and they attach all of that information from all of these systems to your test run, and if your test run is complete, the developer has all of the team really has all of that information at their fingertips. One other part of test manager is called the lab manager. Now, we cannot show that because it's notoriously difficult to demo that. Lab manager basically is all about virtualization of test environments. So if you set up a test environment for a complex SharePoint project, maybe, you know that it's very difficult. You need different servers, you need different hardware, you need to set it up. So having a really big test rig, test environment, is actually very hard to do. It takes a lot of time. So virtualization, running this test environment in a virtual machine or in multiple virtual machines, is sort of the next big thing in testing. The lab manager allows you to create virtual test environments and to spin them up at a button's notice. So you have these virtual test environments. When somebody wants to run a test on this environment, the lab manager just spins up the virtual environment, allows you to do your manual testing there, collects all the information, and then shuts it down again. Also, if this is set up correctly, a developer has also a snapshot of the current state of this virtual environment at their fingertips. So when they investigate a bug, they cannot just read about that bug and see that information. They can actually spin up the test environment at exactly the point the bug has occurred. That's a very, very nice sort of way of using virtualization for test purposes. Obviously, having multiple virtual machines on our laptops is not a good thing. That's why we can't demo it. But there's a very nice virtual machine on Microsoft.com, which you can download and try out. I highly encourage you to do that. Lab Manager is a really, really interesting product. Okay, so let me just quickly show you the test manager and so that you get a little better idea what it does. But I'll first start with Visual Studio. Now, my colleague has told you about this Team Explorer, which is the interface into TFS. So using the Team Explorer, you can get all the work items, you can get all the bugs, all the user stories, everything that is stored in the TFS repository is available in Visual Studio using the Team Explorer. And that includes test cases. Test is just another work item, and a developer could create test cases, anyone could create test cases simply using the Team Explorer interface. You can also use Excel to create test cases if you want to, but we have figured out, as I said before, that it's maybe not the best strategy to force testers into Visual Studio all the time, especially for manual testing. So this is why we came up with this test manager. When you open the test manager, it will connect to TFS, it will allow you to connect to your team projects, and it will then retrieve all the test-related information from your team project. Let's just give it a few seconds to connect. As I said, I have all my stuff locally on my laptop, a full build installation, full test installation, everything. And the first thing you see when you open the test manager is it will allow you to connect to a team project in TFS. So this one here is a team project that has nothing to do with SharePoint. It's a very generic web application, but the basic principles are the same for SharePoint. Since SharePoint is also just a little bit more complex, but it is a web application. So when you connect to a team project, you can create test plans. A test plan is a collection of test cases, and how you organize that, how you structure that, is really up to you. There's very few limitations what you can do, and every team can build it differently depending on the project. So I can also have more than one test plan. I can have a test plan for beta test, I can have a test plan for UAT, I can have as many test plans as I want. In this case, I only have one test plan. So if I open that, I come to the main interface of the test manager. Now on the left, first let's start with the tabs at the top. So you have different tabs. The plan tab is for setting up your test plan, formulating your test cases, organizing your test cases, and getting everything in order. The test tab allows you to run these tests that you've set up. And then you can, of course, also track your plans, which is mostly about reporting how many tests have successfully completed, how many tests have failed, how many bugs did I encounter, and so on. And then organize is just another way of sort of modifying and working and organizing your test plan. So on the left-hand side, what you have here is what's called test suites. Test suites are collections of individual test cases. Again, how you organize that is completely up to you. There's no limitation. You can go as deep as you want. Now, in our case, we have a suite for browsing. It's an online shop, so if visitors come to my shop, they have some functionalities that I want to test when they're just browsing my application. And then I want them to buy stuff, so I have a different test suite which deals mostly with buying, shopping cart operations and these kinds of things. That's just one way of organizing it. Again, there's no limit how you can do it. Now, there is one thing, one concept, which is called requirements-based testing. And it again goes back to the definition of what software quality is. Some say software quality is if all the requirements have been implemented, right? If your customers want a certain requirement and you implement that, that means your software is of high quality. Of course, the implementation must be without errors, but that's what testing is for. So requirements-based testing basically means pulling all the requirements, all the user stories, and then putting them as test suites into the test manager. Because it means if I have a requirement, for example, as a visitor, I can browse product details, then to verify this requirement, I can formulate individual test cases, which then, if they're all passing successfully, mean my requirement has been implemented with high quality, right? So you can build your own test suites, but you can also use the requirements, user stories in Agile to build up your test plan. So let's just look at how one of these test plans might look. So you can see that I have three generic test cases. I have a search test, I have a complete shopping run, new customer with sign up, and that means in this case I have a test case which goes through the whole application from beginning to the end with and touches all the functionality in between. Now that means when I have such a complete shopping run, I basically touch all of the functionalities of my application. So my test coverage will actually be pretty high, right? Much higher than when a developer does individual unit tests. So manual testing, I said it before, is the best way to increase your test coverage. So when I open this thing, again, all that information is stored in TFS, and a test plan is nothing more than a work item in TFS. And you can see here that such a test plan is basically made up of individual steps, which the tester just needs to follow, right? So in this test case, sitting down, writing such a test case means just writing down the steps, putting them into the test manager for the tester to follow. Now that's one way of doing testing. There's another way of doing testing, which is called exploratory testing, which means somebody sits down, just uses your application, and if they find a bug, they just file that bug. That is also supported by test manager, but the more traditional approach is definitely having test cases, formulate those test cases, and then run those test cases. Let's take a look at how that works. So let's go to the test tab, and let's just run this complete shopping run. And if I run this test from within test manager, it will now set up all the diagnostic data adapters, and it will launch a little part of itself, which is called the test runner. The test runner is a sidebar, you can see it over there. And that sidebar simply contains all of the test steps which you can go through step by step. You can create an actual recording, which is very helpful, especially for longer test cases, because I have seen test cases as big as 150 steps. Those take 2 or 3 hours to complete, right? So if you want to rerun this test, you don't want to do every step just because there's a bug somewhere in the middle. So this actual recording is sort of like a video recorder, VCR, for testing, because you can replay it automatically. So let's just create this actual recording here and start this test. Continue. And this will now fire up my individual test steps, and I can follow those steps, and I can mark each step as passed or failed. And if I encounter a bug on the way, I can with one mouse click file this bug into TFS, and all the information that gets gathered automatically will then appear. Okay. It's also worth pointing out that everything I do now on my screen will be recorded. And that means it's actually pretty hard to demo this. I have so many demos seen where somebody has clicked somewhere where they shouldn't be, opening their control panel, and suddenly it's part of the test recording. So some very embarrassing things have happened. So you need to be really, really concentrated, do everything that it says in the individual steps. So in this case, it says open browser. Okay, we do that. And navigate to the home page. Okay, one-handed. So let's just use my shortcut here. Okay, expected result as formulated in my test plan. Pretty simple for this one. Homepage appears. Okay, that's fine. So I can simply mark this as complete. Click on deception. Let's do that. Product category list appears. Okay, let's mark this as passed as well. Click on hologram cufflinks, it's over there. Product description page appears, so that is well already. Click on add to cart, we'll do that. Okay, it's now in the shopping cart. All right, so here we can see, actually there's a bug, right? Because my total and subtotal at this stage should be the same, right? So obviously there's an error in this application, and I, as a diligent tester, I see that error. I can now file a bug for that. And when I create this bug, it's now collecting all the information, attaching it to the bug. You can see it here. And I can then add my bug description. Let's be an unhelpful tester. Doesn't work. Not a very good description. But since this is actually a very, very rich bug, I have my system info here. I have test cases attached to this thing. I have additional information. I also have attachments in the form of a video recorder. All that stuff I've done so far is collected and attached to the bug as well. When I save and close that, it will end up in TFS, and my developer, I haven't assigned it to anyone. I could assign it to an individual developer, so they can go now in and fix that bug and work with it. Again, that's pretty much the basic functionality of the test manager. There's much, much more than that, but this is the functionality that will apply to any type of application, really. So if you have a SharePoint application, works exactly the same way. There are some issues with some areas of SharePoint, so for example, very, very complex data lists or things like that. They don't work out of the box with the test manager, but in general, it actually works very, very well. It also works for Silverlight, but only since about 2 weeks now, because we have released an update which targets Silverlight, but it supports all the other technologies. WinForms is supported, even though there are some things which do not 100% work. ASP.NET, of course, works 100%. WPF works 100%, and so on. So you can use it for much, much more. It's really a generalist manual testing tool, which, again, pulls into the power of Team Foundation Server. So we have filed our bug. So let's just set everything to fail. And then I can add my information here. And once I'm done, I can end my test and end my test iteration here. Close that one. And now it will be stored in TFS, and the developer can really start working on that particular bug. If I want to rerun this test at one point in time, I can simply highlight the steps I want to run automatically, press play, and then it will replay exactly my actions that I did on the screen. So for long test cases, that's very, very helpful because it allows you to really make it quicker rather than going through all of these steps. There are a couple of best practices when it comes to organizing your tests. Obviously, especially when you're looking to automate that, because there's one functionality, one feature, which is called a coded UI test, and my colleague will show you a little example of that in just a few minutes, which just takes the steps done in this recording and then creates code from that. And then you can modify that code. You can have, for example, assertions in that code. You can compare elements to each other. You can do automatic validation steps. And all of these coded UI tests, they work very, very well, especially for regression testing. But the longer your test plan is, the more danger is it to break. Because whenever you change something in the UI, obviously the coded UI test will no longer work. Right? So if you want to automate, it's better to have very, very short test cases, which can be easily automated, sort of a best practice. So you really need to plan what you want to do if you want to use this functionality, how to organize it, how to set it up to make it 100% automatic. It's very much possible. I have many, many customers who are using coded UI tests as a precondition for successful check-in. That's the shelf check-in, the shelf set that we had before. You can instruct TFS to only accept check-ins when certain tests are run and successfully run. And coded UI test can be a part of that. So a very, very helpful thing to automate all that manual testing. Remember, 75% of all testing today is manual testing. So this is something that really can speed up and strengthen the quality of your software. This was just a short intro to the test manager. There's much, much more in that tool. But I highly encourage you, if you want to try it, there's a better version. There's a virtual machine out there which you can use to really explore that. It's helpful for any kind of software development project, not just web applications, certainly not just SharePoint application. So automated testing is the second part. So manual testing, we just covered it. Automated testing is the other area. This is the stuff you usually do in Visual Studio. There's a couple of tests which are particularly interesting for for SharePoint projects. Web performance testing, obviously, since you want to evaluate the load on your farm, on your SharePoint box. Load testing goes into the same direction. Also very important to make sure that that performance is there. Coded UI testing, I just talked about that, for automatically testing the UI of your SharePoint app. And then, of course, unit testing, which every developer should do, because it's sort of the first line of defense to make sure that your code performs as it should. Unit testing, by the way, is the thing that doesn't really work with Visual Studio out of the box. So there's a lot of challenges with unit testing for SharePoint applications. So rather than going through the slides, we're going to switch over, and you can show a web performance test. Usually I would show it. Unfortunately, I don't have a very nice SharePoint installation that can be used for these kinds of things. So I farmed this job out to my colleague. Okay. Who would you want the? Should I hold it? I'll be the microphone holder for now.
Okay. Yes, Michael mentioned two important tests for SharePoint.
Oh. Yeah, we always forget the second.
Okay. Okay. I'm here in Visual Studio, and in Visual Studio, I have here test project template. And for this demo, I take the default values. And now in this test project, I can add different types of tests. I will start with a web performance test. And what does happen when I create this item? It starts Internet Explorer and the Web Test Recorder. I can go now to a SharePoint page, and now when I click through these pages, he's tracking all HTTP requests between Internet Explorer and SharePoint. And when I stop this recording, he closes the browser and he creates in Visual Studio this web test. He's collecting some data. And now I have here my web test, which consists of requests to all these pages. And now I could rerun this test again, and he will send all these URLs and track the results.
So it's very interesting first line of defense to see whether all your pages are still working. And there's also a lot more complexity you can put in. You can put arguments in there, for example, check certain elements of these pages. You can go to very deep detail to make sure that important elements of your SharePoint application are working as expected.
Yes, you can add validation rules and say, in this request, there must be a special text in it. Maybe unexpected error should not be there. So you can test here automatically the result of these page requests. What it does, it also requests JavaScript and CSS, but it does not run JavaScript during this request. It's only sending these requests and getting the result. It's not, the browser is not started during this.
So it's not like a UI test. It's really just a web request, but for the UI testing, it's not usable for that one.
Yes. Do you want to show load tests?
Yeah, load tests are also an important one.
When I have requested all these tests, I can create maybe a site test, a document library test, a list test. Then I can create also a load test. And in this load test, here I can simulate multiple users running against the SharePoint site. I can enter how many users I want to simulate, some distribution models, and then I can select here my recorded tests, and can say, I want this web test 80%, and can you simulate a typical user behavior on a SharePoint site? I can simulate the speed which are used by these users and which browsers are used. Which does not mean that these browsers are started. It only means that this in the header, the navigator is entered.
User agent.
User agent. So I have now set up my what I want to simulate, and then I can add computers, because I cannot simulate thousands of users with my laptop. I can use several computers which simulate multiple users. And here I can add from my network machines which are used during this load test, which then send their requests to my SharePoint computer.
Don't use it for denial of service, okay?
Okay, and then I can simulate how long should this test run, the duration should be. And then here, again, a load test is created. And what is here important are the counter sets. Because during this load test, I can not only calculate the speed of request, I can measure almost any number which will be used. I can measure processor time, used memory. There are memory counters, a lot of numbers which I can count, and then I see after my load test, I see how they
perform
during my load test on my SharePoint machine.
I once spoke to somebody who's only doing load testing. It's his job, right? This guy is the load tester for a very big software company, and it's like a detective work, right? He sees all those performance counters, hundreds of them, and he can instantly tell you what's wrong with your code. Virtual memory page size is going up during this request. Hey, it means you have used this function. So it's actually a very, very sophisticated job to build these load test rigs, multiple computers working together, but also diving into these results. Right? There are also much more specialized tools for that, even though the Visual Studio tools are already pretty powerful. But it's science. It's really science. Right? It's really, really interesting and really, really sophisticated.
Yes. What is important in SharePoint area are counter sets from SQL Server, so you can see how much load on your SQL server appears, and again ASP.NET counters, so you can see how many requests, concurrent requests, throughput, and these numbers can be measured during this load test.
We're not going to run it because it would take like 10 minutes. Or do you want to run it?
No.
Okay. Then let's talk about the coded UI test, and then we're done with our session now. You also have a demo for that, right?
Yes. Also, if you can here create a coded UI test. And he asking me, and it's a very existing functionality, and he asked me, do I want to record a new coded UI test, or do I want to use the existing click from Michael before? Because the manual test can later be used for a coded UI test. I will record a new UI test. Again, Visual Studio closes, and I get here a coded UI test builder. So I make my environment ready. It's not recording. And now I say, I start now my recording. And from this moment on, he's recording all my mouse clicks, movements, and here again, every mouse movement is recorded, and also JavaScript and Ajax is executed. So here, I will now generate the code of this UI test. And this is needed. Then now I can add assertions. I can now select an element here and target and say, this element, when it's not equal to, I selected the wrong one.
The inner text.
The inner text here. I say, this element must, there must be stated project portal. And when it's not equal to project portal, then the test should fail. So I can select any element on this page and say, here must be stated libraries. So I can make a real UI test and say, I expect this content on this page.
So if you think back to the feature receivers we built before, that whenever you deploy your Silverlight application, it should create, for example, links in the sidebar. You could write a coded UI test to check whether this has actually happened and then simply run it automatically. Just one example. There's multiple usage scenarios for these kinds of things. In my little shopping site, for example, I check all the values inside of the shopping cart in the same way. Subtotal should equal total, and so on. It's a very flexible tool, and it's all code, right? So it's, well, you can run it whenever you want without human intervention. Very, very useful.
Yes. Then when I stop now, I have here my coded UI test. It's written in C#. Can be edited afterwards, and I can also use this coded UI test and run it during a test.
Or check-in or build or whatever. Okay, so if you'd quickly give me the plug back, we want to lose a few words about unit testing, especially with SharePoint, and I think you should say something about that.
Maybe I have an example.
Oh, okay. So unit testing, the built-in functionalities of Visual Studio have a bit of a problem with SharePoint unit testing. So for example, 32 versus 64-bit. Also the fact, the different .NET versions. And there's no SharePoint available for unit testing out of the box. So you need to mock that. There's different tools available for being able to do that. Probably the best known one is from Microsoft Research, PEX and Molds. Has anyone played with that? So some people have, not many people have. It works actually very well. It's a very robust tool. It's a very powerful tool set. And it's also free, for at least for MSDN people. Who's an MSDN subscriber? Hopefully everybody. So it's free for those. There's also some third-party tools, and you have a demo.
Don't say, sorry, too loud.
We're winging it here right now. finally, while you see if you can find a demo for that, that sort of concludes our sessions for today. We've made the full circle. So we started with why you should develop custom applications on top of SharePoint. Then we talked about the different ways of how to build on top of SharePoint. Silverlight is one example. The built-in tools in Visual Studio give you a lot of flexibility and power to build really, really sophisticated applications. Very useful third-party attachments to that, like the things that my colleagues have demonstrated. Finally, we talked a little bit about the need for proper development process, application lifecycle management, especially for more complex projects. We showed you some of the features of Team Foundation Server that go beyond simply source control, but also the bigger picture of TFS. And there's a lot of functionality in TFS alone. And finally, we talked a little bit about testing, which is also an essential part of application lifecycle management. All of that together, hopefully, will inspire you to go forward with building custom applications on SharePoint. Hopefully.